Are we going to have an NFL Kansas City Chiefs situation happen north of the border?
We might.
No, they're going to start having they're going to have a team meeting and watch the Cowboys play a football game. And just, this is how you lose in the fourth quarter.
They're going to get Jerry Jones in the team room.
Vice captain.
Assistant captain. Yeah. Ooh,
the Cowboys this week lost in the first quarter.
Let's be real. They lost in the preseason.
They did. They, they lost an hour before the first game when they signed Dak to the largest contract in history. But
he's like, gotcha. Welcome back to episode 70 of the Loggerhead Golf Podcast, coming at you after a weekend of LIV Championship. We got the BMW, and I look forward to the President's Cup.
BMW Masters.
BMW Masters?
Yeah.
No one there at that tournament said it that way.
No.
except maybe Billy Horschel might have came close.
Yeah.
Yeah, so great golf tournament. 2 weeks in a row, Rory's came in second. Obviously, a little bit of poking fun at him.
That's
iron head flying off, all the epoxy came off and just still flushed it.
Happens to them too. Yeah, I'll say he hit it to like 8 feet or something like that.
But the best is when he tried to club twirl it.
Yeah, after he's like, there's nothing here.
Yeah, so goes to show you that even the best players in the world, through travel and leaving their clubs in hot places, the epoxy will break down.
For Rory, has it been bad luck, poor execution and poor play? Like, how many times has he come up just short?
I think this year proves that only one of his second places was a lack of execution.
That was the
U.S. Open. Yeah. It's like you have to shake it up as like,
man, I'm playing
like Jack
golf.
Like Jack Nicklaus said, I played great golf.
I just got beat.
Yeah. I got beat, which that's, I guess, luck.
I don't know if it is or not, but it takes
luck for every golfer to play well.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it just comes down to the fact that he did all he could do and majority of these second place finishes. I think he had, we looked it up, like six, five.
Well, we could come up with four right off the top of our heads.
Right off the top of our head. So, I mean.
Well, two in the last 2 weeks.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, correct. Now, like this week, he played to win.
Yep.
I mean, to make an eagle on 17 in regulation. To tie the lead on 18, he thought he hit his second ball in the water. It came up short. He just like, it was a brutal up and down. It would have been a dumb. So he was like, I'm going to go to a playoff. Mm-hmm. Billy Ho gets up and he almost hoops his wedge shot.
The wedge shot was awesome.
In regulation. And I forgot the name of the other fella that was in Lawrence. So it was a three-man playoff. Billy Ho, Rory, both birdie the first playoff hole. And then Billy, they both hit great shots in there in the second playoff hole. Both had eagle putts. Rory missed his.
I'm saying Billy pours it in.
And Billy pours it in from 30 feet.
I say it's rare to go.
Like, you could tell Rory. Rory just like,
it's what rare I gotta do? To. Because realistically, Rory would have probably made birdie on the second playoff hole. So it's rare to go birdie in a playoff and get beat.
Yeah. Well, the thing about even last week, Rory lipped a 39-foot eagle putt to go into the playoff.
What's so good about that?
No, he hit that. He hit it to like 8-10 feet there.
Which one?
On you talking about the Irish Open?
Yeah, last week he final putt on 18 to go into playoff.
It was
for
like
eagle.
It was like 10, maybe 12 feet max. It wasn't.
I mean, for him to sit there, you look at the leaderboard. The guys you're like, the guy that was in the clubhouse lead, he was on 18. Rory's in the fairway at 17. I mean, Rory was just hitting seeds with his driver that back nine. And for him to be able to step up there and drain like a 30 footer on 17 to make eagle, I was like, he wants to win. Like he is, and it just got snatched away from him. But how good is that golf course?
Well, I think European golf as a whole collectively has been way more fun to watch than the PGA Tour this season.
Why do you think that is, Kyle?
Better venues and better players are coming to play.
I think venues is 1,000%.
I was going to say, what causes a good shootout that?
But it's 100% the golf course. Yeah. But not only that, you don't get any fluff with the DP World Tour.
It's not just a lot of commercials.
It's just, 100%. Yeah. Yes, it's just about the golf and the competition. They're not talking about the drama live on air.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just sitting there and you watch nothing but golf shots. You see guys you've never heard of, like especially to the average fan.
Yeah.
And they get to watch golf. And they kind of tell the story of the guys too.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, honestly, they do a good job with the coverage. I've always said that, even back when it was just called the European Tour. I feel like they've done a good job with that coverage there.
And then, I mean, obviously, if you're on the West Coast, you don't watch it. But on the East Coast, it's a perfect time to watch golf.
Yeah.
You know, it's 8, 9 o'clock in the morning on the weekend. It's perfect. Right before football.
Going back and kind of touching on golf course again, how cool would it be to see, and I know it would never happen because they're not links golf courses, to see an Open Championship at like a Wentworth or a Sunningdale, one of the Parkland courses. Or
I wouldn't mind. Exactly. Is Wentworth considered more of a Parkland?
Wentworth would be, yeah. I would consider it more
Parkland. It's like a blend.
Because
yeah.
It's,
it's the more trees. Tree-lined. Because of the trees. Like, yeah. How insane is that tee shot on 18? It looks like they have 5 yards to hit it.
When watching it on coverage, I'm thinking, I don't know where I would hit my tee shot.
You thought Rory hit his.
Yeah, blocked it a mile right, but no, it's perfect.
With the mini driver.
Yeah.
But
well, if we're not going to see an Open, maybe it could be, or if they've never done a Ryder Cup venue.
It has had a Ryder Cup before, I believe.
Wentworth has?
I think so.
I don't think so.
They've hosted something else.
I think you're
thinking
about Belfair.
Probably.
Because that would be an alternative option.
Sunningdale possibly might have hosted a Ryder Cup way back when. But yeah, either one of those courses I think would be awesome to see a major championship or, like you say, a Ryder Cup. Yeah, how good would a Ryder Cup be?
Yeah, I mean, that golf course
was
awesome.
Par 5 finish?
Yeah.
1953 like, Ryder Cup.
Wentworth did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, nobody remembers it.
I don't think anybody. Nobody at this table was alive.
That doesn't count. not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's – that being said, it's called the BMW Masters for a reason.
Yeah.
It's one of the most prestigious events on the European Tour schedule.
Yeah. I mean, it's they're essentially running, the European they're, Master. They're European.
Yeah. Well, they English do have a European
Master. I know. That's why I stopped.
Which is an awesome golf course because that's
UK's
in –
It's the version of
that's
the
in
Masters.
Crans, Montana.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
I don't Probably. Have a clue.
That's the one where, like, Matt Fitzpatrick wins every year, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's – I don't know, like that golf course is just something about, and I said it wrong last week. I said 17 is a drivable par four. I meant to say back-to-back par fives. Just makes it always seem like 17 is drivable
because
of that second shot. Same as 18. 18, yeah. You wouldn't even think there's a tee box from where they hit their second shots from the fairaway.
Yeah. When you said that last week, I was thinking, I know, a par five. But I wasn't going to call
I'm
you out.
I'm saying I was wrong.
I misremembered. It was 16 is a par five, 17 yeah. a par four. But nah.
Well, I think it's what's cool, kind of like blending into our next topic, you know, with LIV Team Championships. The DP made that announcement about LIV players playing in. They're allowing 12 players, and Ian Poulter was the only one because he hasn't paid his fines that could not accept the sponsors.
Championship.
Oh, yeah. No, they got like 16 guys.
Yeah, so
now.
They've got.
Well, there's 12 big names.
There's 12 big names that were technically on suspension due to fines and stuff.
Yeah.
They are now essentially Ian Poulter, I think, is the only player
that didn't pay the fines
that is not eligible yet. But there's like 20 guys, 16 to 20 guys going and playing at another great venue.
Yep. Yeah.
St. Andrews.
Well, that's going to be a good event, too, with that
always
field.
Is.
And with the announcement that
that's in October, right?
Yeah.
U.S. players will be eligible even if they're on LIV for President's Cup and Ryder Cup. So even though that meeting sucked, not a lot came out of it. It's kind of a good way to kind of blend the LIV's championship is they had their big event this weekend, and before that big event, you got, okay, Dunhill's going to allow all these players to play, Ryder Cup, President's Cup, so you're starting to see some blend finally.
Well, they made a big deal about the meeting, and we should have been better about notifying this. He didn't meet with the PGA Tour. He met with the PGA of America.
Okay, yes.
PGA of America does not run the PGA Tour.
No.
Does that mean our dues are going to go up again?
Probably.
that's without it.
But, I mean, the LIV event seemed to be the competition itself quite a success. A lot of big teams getting knocked out early.
Yeah, so LIV had their team finale.
The previous week was the individual finale. Which was actually a finale.
Correct. The format, and I remember I watched a little bit of it last year. It didn't stick out to me as much.
Was it the same exact format?
I believe so.
Maybe because the Four Aces won it last year, right? I think so. They like dominated.
Did the Four Aces win it, or did Bryson's team win it?
Crushers.
Actually, yeah, I know.
I think Crushers.
I know it was like a runaway.
Yeah, it didn't. But no, this format was I thought really cool. They had match play in.
They gave the
I guess they called it semifinals.
They called it semifinals because they gave top four teams a bye. Yeah. Technically, every single team came, every single player, every single team came in with the opportunity to win.
Correct.
What more can you ask for in a finale?
You know, they had match play for the first two rounds to determine the seeding for the finale, or not really a seeding for the finale, but just determine who the four teams are for the finale.
Yeah, in the semifinal, you had the Crushers get knocked out by Kevin Na's team.
Yeah, by the team that had done nothing all year.
Nothing all year, and they come out and play great the first 2 days.
I mean, they played really good. Danny Lee took Bryson down.
What was it, 3-1?
I believe so.
Yeah, 3-1. And Bryson didn't play bad.
No.
He just got beat.
He just got beat. It happens in golf.
You had Smash, Brooks' team, get
They
blown
got knocked out.
Out
in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the format of the match play I thought was cool, too. So they had two singles matches.
Mm-hmm.
And then one team, a foursomes match, so alternate shot match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they determined.
Brutal.
Did the matches. Yeah, that would. But kind of makes it hard to have a tie and have a playoff with three matches.
I mean, and it was fitting, too, because Cam Smith pretty much got his team through into the stroke play. Because that was the different thing, too, is the actual, four teams had or three teams had a chance to win?
There were four teams in the final.
Yeah, four teams in the final, which it moved to stroke play. Everybody's score counted.
Yeah, now that was – I thought that was really cool because there was a point where, especially early in the front nine of their first six holes, Ironheads were like six or eight back, and you're like, they're out of it. They got no chance.
Name.
You know, they got no chance. And before you know it, and like in one hole,
three of them birdie.
We're at like basically at one, what was one hole's worth of time, three or four of them made birdie, and then a couple of guys in the leading teams made bogeys. And all of a sudden, Ironheads are leading.
Yep.
And it only took like one hole to swing that.
Yep.
So, like, it was just. The score, like the leader, was changing back and forth.
So I got home, and as I got home, I put it on the TV, and it was showing Cam Smith's like little two footer to win the tournament. And I'm like, and I'm sat there, and I was like, damn, that's a good putting stroke. Like that ball never looks like it's ever gonna miss coming off his putter.
He made some putts too. That round.
I know, unbelievable.
Honestly, watching it, my biggest takeaway was just how many damn putts they made. All of them, all four teams.
That's the
difference.
They
made in that final.
It's not that they putt great. They just they make putts that we don't.
Right.
And they miss. They don't. And
they're
they
not
don't
missing
the
ones that
putts that we
miss.
Do.
Yeah.
That's the biggest difference, right?
Yeah.
Now back to back weeks leads into this week, right? Do we think match play is an important aspect of professional golf?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Do we need more of it?
Yeah, for sure.
We need more mix up kind
of
stuff. Last week is I think it would bring instead of doing back to back to back to back weeks on the PGA Tour, basically the same thing at a different course, at least once a month or once every other month, throw in a match play or alternate shot tournament or like what we discussed, the mixed events. Because the DP World Tour does the mixed event every year and it's a huge success. I mean, Lydia Ko would probably kick everybody's ass right now, or Nelly, but she's
Lydia
on a tear.
Lydia Ko is on a tear again.
Yeah, so it don't matter.
Yeah.
She, thinking about that aspect, right, now it gets us into, now Liv is in their best time of year where they get their most publicity, which is rumor season.
When they're not even playing.
Yeah, rumor season. Because we won't see Liv golfers until next year.
Yeah.
Unless they're playing on another tour or event.
Yeah, Asian Tour, DP.
Which we can speculate on another podcast. We kind of got to get to what we got going on, this week up north of Raleigh.
Just north of Raleigh,
you know, and good old Canada. So we have the President's Cup. How are we guys feeling about this week? Do we think this this event's going to be a banger?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I will say, kind of, because I've never really focused on it, but you know how Liv hasn't really done a great job advertising the the team championship.
No, Liv did a terrible job advertising their entire season.
We work in golf, and we have our TV on all the time, and then we're obviously around golf. There really hasn't been much press behind the President's Cup either.
Have you guys had any appointments come in this week talking about the President's Cup at all?
Not one person.
Not a single one, no.
So it's just weird because when it's Ryder Cup, when it's the Open, when it's the Masters, that's all you hear on TV. All our customers are chatty. I mean, it's fantastic. But there has been no buzz or electricity going into this event.
And part of that is just the history of it. I mean, USA has won
every one of them.
I think the record is 12-1-1.
Yeah,
right?
We tied. So yes, we. I want you because
there is there's really no parity in the President's Cup, which is what makes the Ryder Cup much more attention grabbing.
What was the most famous Ryder Cup or President's Cup?
The one in South Africa when you had Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus were the team captains, and then they came up tied. And they had to go. They ended up deciding to do a playoff. I forget why, but Ernie Els and Tiger Woods were in a head-to-head playoff for the cup.
Okay.
And after three or four holes, got dark, and they decided to. Okay.
What followed that up?
An absolute blow. Well,
no, like I was saying, what's the next top-rated? Probably
96
President's Cup.
I couldn't tell you.
Australia. Tiger Woods as a playing captain.
Well, yeah, but
and then you had and then you had you had and then you had Ernie Els as the captain.
Yeah.
Of the international team when they rebranded, the international team almost won.
Right.
I mean, at Royal Melbourne, at one of the best golf courses in the world. I mean, there's more highlights of match play golf coming out of that President's Cup than a lot of the recent Ryder Cups and stuff. So
yeah,
it shows that venue matters, captains matter, because Mike Weir and Jim Furyk doing anything for this event this year?
I mean,
I think Mike in Canada
it makes sense. It was a bright pick.
But I'm saying like in the competition aspect, in the optics aspect.
I agree to both sides.
Yeah.
I say, well, honestly, what the President's Cup needs, and as much as an American fan, it's hard to say it, but the President's Cup needs Team USA to lose.
Oh, 1,000%.
It needs to be a really close, tight, contested battle, and then like the final match.
Do
final
we think this year and the international team has the power to do it?
I don't really think so, no.
See, there's six guys on the international team that I'm like head-to-head against the top six on US. I was like, you know, because Scottie Scheffler hasn't won a match play match.
I was like, yeah, the top like, six versus the top six is probably pretty even.
That's what I'm saying, because like you got Sung Jae Im playing really good, Tom Kim playing really good.
Adam Scott's been playing
really
well.
Because you know
really
what's going to happen? Their international is going to put Tom Kim against Scottie Scheffler. Tom Kim and Scottie Scheffler are best friends.
Yeah.
So you know they're going to want to beat each other. Mm-hmm. And obviously,
but now the bottom six is a whole other story.
The bottom six, it's like it's a little bit of a crapshoot. USA could win this event by Saturday, looking at the head-to-head matchups, but also international. Like they have – I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think
it's a coin flip.
Like, Corey Connors, I think his record in match play or in the President's Cup is 0-4-0.
Yikes.
You know, I think there was maybe Tyler Pendrith, I think is who else I saw, was something similar.
Yeah. I mean, is Adam Scott going to have to play five rounds?
He's probably going to play every session.
I mean, he's playing good golf.
You got to try to hide. I mean, I know, like, you take Corey Connors because he's Canadian and it's in Canada, but, like, hopefully that spurs him
they along. Left off the really best well. They left off the best playing Canadian golfer, Adam Hadwin. I mean, Nick Taylor.
I didn't pick the teams.
I know, but that's the biggest thing. Like that's why we have
why not?
That's where we have to ask the question. Like, is this the year though that the international team has a chance to win?
Realistically, I don't think so. I'm afraid.
I wouldn't mind seeing it.
I think the President's Cup needs it to happen.
Are we going to have an NFL Kansas City Chiefs situation happen north of the border?
We might.
No, they're going to start having. They're going to have a team meeting and watch the Cowboys play a football game. And just this is how you lose in the fourth quarter.
They're going to get Jerry Jones in the team room.
Vice captain,
assistant captain. Yeah.
Oh, the Cowboys this week lost in the first quarter, but. Yeah.
Insert hate comments below.
Let's be real. They lost in the preseason.
They did. They lost an hour before the first game when they signed Dak to the largest contract in history. But
and he's like, gotcha.
Smart man, smart business, great agent.
But. So bringing it back to the President's Cup, anything else we want to predict on? Or
I think both teams speculate? Will have. I think both teams will have fun.
Hell yeah. Let's have fun out there.
I don't know. When I think of President's Cup, I think of two things. I think of Tiger Woods absolutely monstering a club twirl, his famous shot where he just twirls it. He's staring at it, walking in.
Yeah, at the memorial.
Woody Austin falling in the water. Those are the two things. Because they had Johnson Wagner out there trying to recreate that shot.
Yeah.
But I
forgot that was in the President's
Cup. I think of Woody Austin just taking a head first dive into the water after hitting that wave.
So do we add to the highlight reel?
There's great stuff. Like that's the thing. There's great highlights these events usually produce.
And it could be such like a fun event. They just have to make it fun again to watch. Like, yeah. I went to
it. So you want to make the President's Cup fun again?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Because, like, I went to Quail Hollow for the last President's Cup. And compared to, like, I've been to almost every Wells Fargo there. like, there was, aside from the cart person bringing beer around, yeah. there was not a lot of excitement.
Yeah, because the U.S. team almost won on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it was a bloodbath.
I just think the last couple President's Cup, there's been nothing behind it. That's the problem.
Again, 4 years ago, there was when Tiger Woods was a playing captain.
Yeah,
and they were playing in Australia, and you had a very like you had Cam Smith, who is the top player in the world, Jason Day playing good golf, Adam Scott. Mark Leishman on that team. You had that international team at the time. Abraham Ancer was one of the top players in the world. I mean, international team had some buzz.
Yeah, it was stacked.
And then they rebranded it, right? Yeah. They created that new shield. Ernie Els wanted no business. Ernie Els was, like, he was pretty hardcore when it came to, like, the press conferences and things like that. I mean, now, I will say this. To the credit, I was giving Jim Furyk. I was like, I haven't heard from Jim Furyk. And then I read, like, some interview he did. And he was like, if people are wishing for the international team to win as Americans, they can F off. And I'm like, that's Jim Furyk.
Yeah.
I like it. I bleeped that so the FIA doesn't give me one day community service. Yeah. Overall, how many points what do you guys think the point differential is going to be?
How many points are available? I always forget.
Was it 26?
Let's see.
26, I think.
I think if...
Well, there's 5 points each match, and then 12 points for singles.
So last year it was...
So 5, 10, 15 plus 12.
17 and a half to 12 yeah. and a half. So
there's 27 points up.
19 to 11. No,
more than that. 17 really? And a half to 12 and a half, Nikki.
Oh, God. Yeah.
19
there's 30. Math, there's 30 points 30 available. Points. So that was last year. The final score in 2022 was Team USA 17 and a half to 12 and a half. I'm going to go with 18 to 12. That's my final score this year, Team USA.
So I think it's going to be closer than that.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, I think the top six of each team, I think, will be really close, just with how consistent they've played.
Yeah.
I would probably go 16 and a half, and what does that leave me, 15 and a half?
No, it'd be 13 and a half.
Yeah, so there we go.
I'll
just use my calculator next time.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, that's still pretty big spread. I mean, three points in one of these things is a big spread. But
it's better than a blowout.
I think USA is going to drop a 20 burger on them.
It'd be hard to do. I almost said that too.
Last time that happened was in 2000.
Might happen again.
The last two President's Cup, I was rooting for the international team. They left Cam Smith and some guys off it this year. I can't root for them. They played too much into the politics aspect of it. So I hope USA drops a 20 burger on them.
It just depends. I think Scotty Scheffler.
I think it's going to be relatively close.
Scotty Scheffler also needs to show up. He needs to win in a match. Because if he plays poorly, I get he's the number one player in the world. He's going to be on the Ryder Cup next year. He might be the first number one player in the world to play in a Ryder Cup that doesn't play until singles.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be close through the foursomes and four ball matches. I mean, USA is going to have a couple point lead through those, but when it gets to the singles on Sunday, I just feel like USA's going to blow them out of the water.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the beautiful thing about match play.
Never know.
Never know what's going to happen. I mean, there's a 50% chance.
Ask Bryson about it.
Yeah.
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
But, I mean.
All right, show and tell.
Yep.
Show and tell and tell and show.
All right, here we have a picture of a receipt.
Having a hole-in-one is cool and all until you have an insane bar tab. I'll be real. I think having to buy everyone else drinks after you ace one is some bull crap.
I agree. 1,000%.
Because I don't even drink.
This is a flush. Yeah. For starters, if you look at this receipt, and I don't know why they start...
I agree with this if I make the hole-in-one. I disagree if someone else makes the hole-in-one.
The tax on the receipt is $1,700. This is almost a 20 grand... bill.
Holy cow.
Well, at least the natural lights for three of them was only $12.75.
Like, how does this add? What else is up here that we don't see on this receipt?
I was going to say, this doesn't even tell us the total.
I say subtotal is $18,853.
Who charges $725 for a green tee shot?
I don't know, but I agree. I've never understood how you're the one that had the great shot. You made the hole in one. Everybody else should be buying new drinks rather than you.
That's
buying
been my whole problem.
I wonder what a vodka rail. I've
never
is.
Understood this. I don't know. Ask for it on the next time.
Five shots of Patron.
But that bill is. I gotta see what else is up here. I want to see what else is up shot. Here.
It's like cowboy ribeye. We got 20 grand
worth of drinks.
that list better be as long as this table.
Better be longer than that.
Better be longer than a CVS receipt.
Now that being said,
a rail drink is on a well vodka. By the way.
Okay. I was gonna say so. This is exactly why, especially at private clubs where there's a lot of rounds of golf from the same amount of people, that the clubs have a hole-in-one insurance.
Correct.
That way, correct. You yourself are not out of pocket. You technically are buying into it. Yeah. So,
but you got to think. I mean, it's almost comical. It's whenever insane. This got started, you know somebody was messing with somebody. It's because you made a hole-in-one, it was so great, you've got to buy us drinks. Ultimate
this asshole is
sick,
of a friend.
This is a sick joke that has spiraled out of control for years and years. No, we need to put a stop to it.
It's like, you know what, Tommy? That shot was so good. You're going to buy all of us drinks. Because we're so excited for you.
I saw a video this weekend that it was another course where the same group had back-to-back hole-in-ones on the same hole.
At this place, like, that'd be expensive as hell. God.
All I know 42 is, grand.
Like, sorry, I had to cancel my membership. I couldn't afford my hole-in-one.
I know two of you don't drink anymore, but I still drink. I want to go to this club. It's like, why is he out there on a par three all day? I'm trying to make a hole-in-one.
But, yeah, we agree. You got to change the hole-in-one rules.
Yeah, next. Flush.
Yeah.
I remember this video.
Golfzone opens up a hybrid 18-hole indoor golf course.
Yeah, it's like when you hit the screen, it raises up.
Is it in Japan? Where is it?
I believe it said China.
Oh.
Well, it's right there. Mijian Convention Center in Taijin.
So the screen lifts up when you get close to the green, and you finish out the hole on the green.
Sign me up. This is cool as hell.
Yeah.
Holy cow. How expensive is this?
There's no telling.
Well, technology, you got to think where it's located. They're light years ahead of everybody technology-wise anyway.
I think this is pretty cool, honestly. This is sick,
yeah. I'd love to do this.
Oh, if I was in the Northeast, I would 100% invest in this.
That's a good idea, too.
I mean, well, this would shut down Topgolf, you know.
Topgolf is shutting themselves down right now. What are we talking about?
They've joined up with the Saudis.
Now
it's going to be Live Golf, Topgolf.
Is my Callaway stat? Oh, wait, Callaway's not involved, so I'm not going to have I'm not going to have the Golf Saudi logo on my bag.
Callaway, wash your hands.
Golf Saudi, if you want to put your logo on my bag.
But
no, it's fine by me.
Getting back to the topic on hand, I think this is really cool.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, it'd be fun to do.
I would
as well too.
I would do this over both.
This is the perfect blend of Top Golf and Pop Golf.
Pop stroke,
whatever. Right?
Pop Golf's that Myrtle Beach
knockoff. We put it all together. It might be, actually. Yes. Got to get that dirty Myrtle in there.
No, this is cool. I mean, I'm
yeah. This is actually how you grow the game.
I actually like simulator golf. Like nothing places. Wrong with it, there's nothing wrong with it. If you don't take it too seriously, it's great for what it is.
But like having hit out of a real bunker and real chip shots would get interesting because you have to.
Especially indoors. Yeah. You knife one, send it over like three holes over into somebody's
kill floor. Someone.
Sorry.
Caught that one a little thin. Was working on my negative AOA.
But next. I don't even know what this is, but it's already a shank.
Phil's new haircut. The
question is, how do we think
he looks like a middle-aged woman in California getting ready to complain about something at the grocery store? He really does.
Let's do another.
How do we feel about our boy Phil?
No, he's not looking good.
Looks rough.
My man looks like he has just been living in a casino.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Nothing's wrong with that.
Last couple years have been rough on him, it looks like. All right. Shank, next.
Need some more wellness coffee.
I'm a pro shop attendant at a local public course, and I like to doodle the more frustrating aspects of this job. Tee time, 1:24. Actual time, 2:10. Hey, bro. Sorry we're a little late.
Every golf pro in the country is going to be exploding at this one.
Yeah.
This is when you wish, all right, well, thanks for coming. You can either leave or tee off on hole 12, you know, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really relate because I worked at
you never
places.
Had to worry about tee times.
Exactly.
I can tell you from experience when you've got a full tee sheet,
This is a nightmare scenario.
I say, and a group shows up 5 minutes late, and the next open time available is three hours from now. It's like, what do you do with them? It's like, you can either go to the second hole and pick up, you know, start there, or I guess go home.
Guys, we can do a full podcast about working at a golf course and our pet peeves.
Because this is a loose scenario.
Ask me what my radar says. Yeah. You'll find a quick way to piss me off.
I think there was one of those that said something about the weather.
Well, the problem with this is clearly the player's fault. You as a professional working behind the counter are still trying to accommodate
them. Yeah,
and you do everything by the book.
Yeah.
And if you do send them out there because that group that was supposed to tee off at 1:30 teed off early, they're playing fast. Now they don't want to get back. So let's be real here.
The golf shot, the guy working behind the counter, he doesn't make the rules.
Exactly, yeah.
So when he says, oh, man, tough luck, like.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should get some pros to send in some pet peeves and just do a podcast on that. That'd be fun.
My favorite one was always when somebody called in. Usually, like, they wanted a Saturday morning tee time, and they called like Friday right before you shut the golf shop down.
I know what you're going to say.
And they asked, you know, I need to, what's the earliest tee time you got tomorrow?
4:00.
I'm like, yeah, first thing I've got is at 2:53. Man, nothing earlier. That actually, you know what? A 9:10 just opened up. I just decided I didn't want to give it to you the first time around. I told you it was a 2:50. No, there's nothing earlier. It's like, what? I told you 2:53 because that's the first thing open. It's what you asked for.
The best ones ever. Do you have any tee times around 11 o'clock tomorrow? My only thing available is 10:51. Oh,
that's way too early.
That's a little early.
What? 9 minutes?
Yeah.
We get it all. You call in last minute.
You got to be a little bit flexible.
Bring the next one in, Miles. Little proto action.
At Chris Shafton, it'd be better.
Hey, well, don't let
your personal.
I think that TPT shaft feels good.
I do too. I don't mind it.
Go ahead and say what you want to say.
Because I know how you feel about this one.
There's a little too many lines on it.
Bullshit. Just yesterday you said as soon as it comes out, you're going to get one.
Yep. No.
I don't know. For me, I fit a ton of lab putters.
That's where I look at it.
I think this head shape, along with the laminates, are all for it's going to bridge the gap of where, because every putter lab has is kind of funky looking.
If you use a center shafted two ball or a center shafted Golo, you can now officially use your center shafted Wilson. Yeah. You now lab makes a putter for you.
Yeah.
So, well, hypothetically.
Oz, I think is what it's called. Yeah,
Oz. Yeah, Oz. Yeah.
So do we think it's actually going to come out?
Yeah.
I mean, they had to go through conforming.
Yeah.
Like, that process isn't easy. So.
I don't think you get this far prototyping without it coming out.
No, because some of the other prototypes that Sam and Bill Press have done, they haven't seen the light of day. This, he's got like 30 of them in the background of the shop going out to players.
So. I will say I really like the double line around the shaft alignment. Butter.
Over there on that
one.
And then like at lift,
I definitely don't like this.
That would be hard to line up.
The thick line, the one line on any of them looks horrible. Whether it's the Mez, the DF, the thick line just
for a lot. They got to get that thinned.
I just feel like it would make it super easy to kind of set it up not square.
Well, we saw Dustin Johnson switch to DF3 this week.
I don't know. Maybe they've done some research and figured out the thick line is better for alignment somehow.
Well, they offer both. They have a thin and a thick.
I usually like my line thickness to be the same thickness as my golf ball. So, like, that line I would have to draw on my golf ball.
That's a big line.
Yeah.
Well, they have the fat line, which is the little thing you put over it, and you use the big Sharpie.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, it's great. I love that they're causing the golf industry and the putter market to freak out.
Yeah.
You've got Evenroll making a version. Yeah, PXG make a version. You've got Odyssey bringing back the toe up. Because the toe up concept is
Scotty's made some prototypes.
Yeah. I'll say, I know the pictures are technically like enhancing all the angles and stuff. It does seem like it's a little bit of a lot with how many sharp lines there are. But
I'll say my initial reaction is I didn't like this shape. But
I like that overall shape. I'm just talking about from the top view.
It's one of the ones, since me and you go back and forth about putters all the time, I think this one we've got to see it in person to really, because pictures can make the line seem a lot sharper than they actually are.
Yeah, for sure.
So I like it. It's a birdie. Yep.
Next.
Nike's last attempt at a signature series. And see if it's successful.
Now, whose feet are these?
Scottie Scheffler. They're just not moving right this second.
Okay.
Not they're a big foot guy, so I can't really point that out.
That's there it is, folks.
No, it's honestly, I really like the look of them. They kind of look like the Nike Sebastian Janikowski's mixed with a golf shoe. Wouldn't you agree, Miles? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, they look way better. I think the TW shoe that he wore is the ugliest golf shoe Nike made. I think any Tiger Woods shoe was the ugliest shoe Nike made.
Except for like the TW13s, I think. Was that like one of the original? Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they were decent looking. But
well, with these, Nike, about 10 years ago, they used to make the spikeless shoe, and the bottom was actually based off a snowmobile track, like how it grabs, how it holds tension.
Yeah.
And that's what this shoe reminds me of. When you look at the bottom, it looks like the old Zoom sole, but it has spikes. I mean, it's a good-looking shoe, but the last two signature series, Nike's drop's been a complete flop, and at the state of Nike golf right now is at an all-time low.
The only thing that's keeping them up, which technically they run opposite, like they run their, they essentially finance, Jordan runs its own
entity.
Yeah, like Jordan's the only thing that's kind of keeping even Jordan
golf shoes have been like reselling for less than retail.
Yeah.
So I think Nike's just in a bad spot, but maybe this Scottie Scheffler shoe will help move the needle in the junior market. Hey,
Phil Knight says what made them famous was running shoes, and that's what they need to get back to. So,
stick with what you know, I mean, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, there's so many good golf
shoes. To me, it looks like just another golf shoe.
I agree.
It doesn't like
I do think they look better than the versions he was wearing.
We'll see what they look like when you get them in
his
hand.
Shoe change his golf swing, his footwork?
No.
So it's a par for the concept. Par.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's leave it at that.
Cool.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for listening to episode 70. We will catch you on the next episode of the podcast, which would be 71. That's, you know, one plus one is two. Heck yeah. Yeah. So if you haven't already, like and subscribe, turn on the push bell notifications. Don't forget to go to your fifth grade math class, and we'll catch you on the next one.